Malachi chapter 1, verse number 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I love Jacob. Verse number 7, the Bible says, ye offer polluted bread upon my altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for the sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray ye, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by our means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 13. Ye say also, behold, what a weariness is it. Ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. Ye have brought that which was torn and lame and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and boweth and sacrifice unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. You know, here tonight, as we look in the book of Malachi, you'll find Malachi, these four chapters, the last four chapters in the Old Testament. It's a continuous, it's an ongoing rebuke, a continuous reprimand from God to his people because of their sins, because of their backsliding, because of the evil, the corrupt there in the land of Egypt among the people. God begins to rebuke and reprimand them throughout the old Malachi, this last book of the Old Testament. You'll find here in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, God deals with the people's sins, with the people's backslidings, with the corruptness of the priests in the land. In chapter number 3, he gives a warning. He said, make a preparation to be ready, to make ready, for there's a messenger that's coming. That he's speaking of John the Baptist, the one that's going to pave the way, that's going to make the way of the coming Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then in chapter number 4, he makes an announcement. It's an announcement that is kind of shocking. You see, the last word in the Old Testament, the very last word in the last verse of the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, it is not about blessings. It's not about grace. It's not about mercy. But the Bible says, the last verse, God says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The last word, it ends with a curse. Not blessings, not grace, not goodness, not mercy, but with a curse. God's law, them keeping the law, would never make them righteous. It would never redeem them. It would never make them right in God's sight. But I'm thankful for the very next book. Just one book over, in Matthew chapter 1, verse number 18, the Bible says, now on the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It may have ended in a curse, but God sent a blessing. He was sending his son, Jesus Christ, full of grace, full of mercy, and full of truth, just like our God, just like my God. He sends a blessing whenever we need it. You know, we're under the curse. We're under the curse of sin. But thanks to Calvary, thanks to the blood, thanks to the sacrifice, we're blessed in Jesus Christ tonight. We find here in chapter number 1, I'm interested in this indictment that God levels to his people. He gives them an indictment. God's upset. God's angry. He's angry at his people for the fact that when they come to offer a sacrifice, when they come to give to the Lord, when they come to offer what they have, they would not bring their best, but rather they would bring their second best and give to God when they become to worship the Lord. They may have had a good sheep, or they may have had a healthy ram, or they may have had a spotless lamb, a turtle dove. Knowing good and well, they had one with good eyes, one that was healthy, one that was spotless, one that was without blemish. And instead of giving that one that was best of the land, or the best of the field, the best of the herd, the best of the flock, they would find one that's not as quite as valuable, that's not as profitable. They would find that one, and they would give their second best to the Lord God Almighty. They would keep the good. They would keep the profitable. They would keep that which is preferred for themselves. Let me say, they were giving God their leftovers. They were giving God their second best. Not the most desired, not the most admired, but the second best. Why? Why would this people give God the second best? After all that He had done for them. He had brought them out of the land of Egypt. He had led them. He had given them victory upon victory. He had protected them. Why would they give God the second best? They left God so many times. They went and played the harlot time and time again, giving their love and their affection, their attention after false gods and idols. But yet, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, this is God speaking, I have loved you. What a thought tonight that the God of all heaven, the God of all glory, the God of all grace, He said, I have loved you. There's no reason for a child of God here tonight in Fletcher First Baptist Church to give God of all glory your second best. Why? Because Jesus Christ has loved you. You know, when we were unlovable, there was a God that loved us. When we didn't love Him, there was a God that loved us. When our desires wasn't toward Him, there was a God that loved us. He tells His people, I have loved you, but ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? May we, church, never have the attitude as these people. We could spend hours upon hours tonight talking about God's grace, talking about God's goodness and God's mercies, tender mercies to us that He bestows daily. But we need tonight to look no further than the cross at Calvary to see how God loved us. We sang about it this morning, the love of God. That love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It reaches far behind the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The love of God. He said, I loved you. And you said, wherein hath thou loved us? He loved them. Loved them beyond measure. They were the apple of His eye. But yet time after time after time, they came and gave God their second best. I was thinking of the prodigal son. The prodigal son's father, he seen his son that was stained in sin, in the muck, in the mire of the word. And the prodigal son's father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Let me say, God, He gave His best. He's the best robe, the best redeemer. He's my best friend. Jesus Christ is His name. God gave us His best. The best of all, the only begotten Son. So why would we, like this people, want to offer, want to give our second best to God? He said in verse number 2, I loved you. I loved them. But notice in verse number 5, He not only loved them, but He gave them leadership. Bible says in verse number 5, and your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. He brought them out of slavery. He brought them out of servitude, out of bondage. He's given them a land. He's guided them. He's directed them. He's loved them. And now He is leading them. He's given them leadership. You know, tonight, Pastor, I wouldn't be here, or any of you wouldn't be here, if it wasn't for the unseen hand, the leadership of God Himself. He leads us, that song says, through many dangers, through many toils, through many snares, I've already come. It's grace that's brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead us home. He knows the way through the wilderness tonight, church. All we have to do is follow. He loved them. He was giving them leadership. But notice, in spite of the love, in spite of the leadership, now in spite of his lordship, they were giving him the second best. Notice what he says in verse number 6. As the son honoreth his father, and a servant his master, if then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts. He calls himself a father. He calls himself a master. And he calls himself the Lord of hosts. A father. A procreator. A giver of life. The one that creates. The one that originates. Let me say, he is the giver of life. He is the high father tonight. Then he says a master. It's an owner. He is bought and he is paid for this people. Church, he's bought and paid for us through the blood that we sang about just a moment ago. He's the life giver. He's the creator. He's the master. He's the owner. And if that's not enough, church, he is none other than the capital L, the capital O, the capital R, the capital D, the Lord of hosts. He's simply God. And in spite of the love, in spite of the leadership, in spite of his lordship, they were still giving God the second best. They said, God, we want to give. We want to feel the ritual. We want to feel the law. We want to feel your commandments. But we don't want you to have the preferred. We don't want you to have our best, the best we have to offer. Would you not agree with me tonight, church, that our Lord and Savior, he deserves the best we have to offer? I mean, he deserves the best that we can give. There's not anyone here tonight, from the pulpit to the pew, that deserves the best of anything. If I got what I deserve tonight, I would be in hell. But the odd thing is, he's God, he's Lord, he's Master, he's the High Father, and yet he's gave me his best, his Son, Jesus Christ. But me, an unworthy, undeserving, an unfaithful sinner, giving him second best. The question is, why? Why do we give him second best? I see three areas tonight, and I'll be quick. Three areas tonight, three places tonight in our lives and in our perhaps yours that I think it relates to these people here in Malachi that we're not giving God our best, where we give God just the second best, just our leftovers. Number one, let me say, they gave God their second best in their examination. Verse number 7, the Bible says, ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? These people, they were given polluted bread. Stale bread, old bread, molded bread. They were giving lame and sick and torn sacrifices. And I want to say tonight, all of this, it was just a manifestation with what was on the inside. Look at, if you look in chapter number 2, God tells them the real problem. The real problem of them giving their second best is they didn't examine their own heart. You know, tonight, God, he did not care for the condition of what they gave, but he cared for the motives and the intents of why they gave it. If all we had, or if all they had, was a blind or a lame or a sick sacrifice, and we come to the Lord and they'd say, Lord, this is all I have, it would be honorable and it would be acceptable. But he didn't care about the examination of the sacrifice. He cared about the examination of their heart, their motives. Look at chapter number 2, verse number 2. The Bible says, this is the Lord speaking, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon ye, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. He's saying you're not laying it to heart. It's the fact that their heart was wrong. It was a manifestation of what they gave. It was made known by their giving. It was made known by what they offered. Was a manifestation of what was on the inside. They brought these messed up things. These lame and these sick. These torn. These crippled animals to give to God. And it was an outward indication of an inward problem. The examination of a sacrifice, let me say tonight, was not the issue. The issue was there was no self-examination of their heart. Verse number 2, it says, because you do not lay it to heart. Because you do not take it to heart. They would go to assemble themselves in the synagogue. They would hear the reading of the word of God. They would hear men like Malachi standing and prophesying, preaching the word of God. And yet, they would never take it to heart. Let me say, church, tonight, when we come and we hear the singing, and we hear the testimonies that exalt our Savior, and we hear the reading of the word of God, and we hear the preaching of the word of God, do we truly take it to heart? Do we let it examine our heart? Do we let it find the dark places and the secret places of our heart? Jason testified of it last night, speaking on communion. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:28, but let a man examine himself. Self-examination. Examination of our what we're giving, what we're offering to the Lord. But the psalmist says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. You know, part of our church services, Pastor, is not only coming in the house of God and worshiping Him, coming to the house of God and praising Him and honoring Him through prayer, but part of our services here in the house of God ought to be a place of examination. Brother Darren preached last Sunday night, the Mercy Hospital. And let me say, the church, it is a hospital. It's a spiritual hospital where broken, where torn, where hurting people can come and find help. Receive spiritual surgery from the great physician. But tonight, there's no surgeon in this land. There's no operating room in this land. There's no hospital room in this land that will practice or perform surgery until they've done an examination, till they've done an audit, till they've done a check, until they've done an inspect, and they tell you what is wrong. To my knowledge, hospitals still have examination rooms. They still have triage rooms or triage units where they go and examine. They go and look, and they go and decide and determine the method of treatment. Church, this is not only the house of God, but it's an examination room. And if we'll let God take His finger and run His finger through our hearts and pinpoint and highlight the areas that we need to get right, that needs to be repaired, that needs to be fixed. But let me say, we'll never make it. We'll never make it to surgery. We'll never be repaired until were examined. They were giving God their second best in their examination. Not the examination of the offerings or the turtle doves or the lambs, but of their heart. Let me say number 2 quickly. Not only they were giving God second best in examination, they were giving God second best in their elements. We read they gave polluted bread, old bread, moldy bread, stale bread, lame, sick, sacrifices. Verse number 8, in chapter number 1, the Bible says, and you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor, will he be pleased with thee or accept thy persons? He's saying, give it to the governor. Go give it to the one in charge. Go give it to your boss and see if he would accept it. Why is it? Why is it so often we esteem those things that God gives us higher and better than the giver himself? Why is it? It's God that has given us strength. It's God that's given us jobs. It's God that's given us intellect to work and to go to school and to go to college. It's God that's given us the ability to go out and work. Is it not God that deserves? Is it not God that merits? Is it not God that's due our best and our preferred instead of these elements? Let me say, young people tonight, don't wait till you're 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 years to give God your life. Give it to him while you're young. Give it to him while you're strong and energetic, while you're vibrant. Give it to him now. Paul told Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. Young people, you can be an example to this entire congregation. How do you do that? In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity. Go ahead right now, young people, while you're young, and give it to God. Moms and dads, are you giving your best to God? Our young people, they need to be encouraged to give their best to God. But how about you, grandparents? Are you giving your best to God? I was thinking and studying this. How? And what is the best that I can give to God? Anna Lee, come here just a minute. Naya, where you at? Avery? I won't embarrass you. Come on. Hustle up. This is the best I have to give to God. And I'm not talking about giving it to God as a young child, and we ought to dedicate them and give them back to God. That's the right thing to do. But I'm talking about a continuous, daily, praying, agonizing, intercession prayer for them, that God would help them and God would save them and God would use them. This is the best, church, we have to give to God. Are you giving it to God? Thank you, girls. You know, I think we've, as Americans, we're spoilt. God's been so good to us. And we give our best to education. And I believe in education. I'm for education. I try to be edumacated. I believe we try and we give our best to careers. We want our children to have an education and grow up and have a good job and have a home. I believe we give our best to ball and to sports. We want to make them happy and keep them busy and keep them out of the things of this world. So we put them in sports and we push the sports. We give the best in entertainment. How about we just give them God? How about we just pray that they would find God's will, God's purpose, and God's approval in their life? Giving our best to God. Giving our best in our elements. Giving our best in self-examination. Thirdly, I'm done. Let me say we ought to give our best. And they needed to give their best here in the verse, in their effort. Look at verse number 13. The Bible says, ye said also, this is God speaking, behold, what a weariness is it. He said, Lord, they were saying, Lord, it's so weary. It's so tiresome. And we're worn out trying to serve you, trying to sacrifice to you, trying to bring these offerings to you and to keep your commandments. Lord, we're just so weary. They were given a minimal effort to the God of all glory. You say, preacher, we've been in 10 services in 8 days. God's good to us. God's helped us. God saves souls. God's helped us that are saved, and he's revived us. But we're so weary. We're so worn out. We're so tired. Let me say, church, is he not worth it? Is he not worth us giving him our best? Giving our best in his effort. The Bible says, wherefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, always flourishing, always growing, always prospering in the work of the Lord. For as knows ye much that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me say, church, tonight, I may be weary in this way, but I'm not weary of the way. God's been good to me. God's blessed me. God saved me. I ought to be giving my all effort to him. When I see my Savior face to face, I want to leave all my effort behind, all my effort on the court. I want to see him being pleased with my effort that I've gave. Let me say, church, if you work on a committee, give them all effort. Choir, if you sing in the choir loft, sing with all effort. If you teach Sunday school teachers, teach with all effort. All effort. Don't give them our second best. These people, they were given their second best in their examination. They were saying, here, Lord, here's this sacrifice. God said, I want to examine your heart. I want to make your heart right. I want to get you right. But they were given second best. They were given second best in their elements. They were given second best in their efforts. And God said, I want your best. We started the service out tonight by saying the song, I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. How can we thank the Lord tonight? We can thank him by lifting our hands. We can thank him by lifting our voices. We can thank him by praising and shouting. I think it would be honorable and acceptable to thank our Lord, to honor our Lord by giving him our best. Let's stand tonight. Someone, Misty, if you'll come and play something on the piano. Church, maybe you're here tonight and God's pinpointed the area in your life where you not truly, truly gave him your best. Maybe he's examining your heart. Maybe he's pinpointed that thing in your heart. Why don't you come and give him your best? Make a vow to him. Ask him to help you. Come and pray for our kids and ask the Lord to help them as they go back to school here in a few weeks. Whatever your need is tonight, this altar's open. Don't give God your second best. Give him your best effort. Give him the best that you have. Father.
That someone still cares. Oh dear Jesus, I love you. I can't live without you. All my sorrow and heartaches you've known, and I will never forget the night you saved me. So I'll tell it wherever I go. Lord, I've tried you many times. You've never failed me. and so weak I have been, and by the power and the grace that you grant me, Lord, I mean to be true till the end. Take me, I've a friend who will always be true. You have said, Lord, you never would leave me. So, dear Jesus, I'm dependent on you. Can't live without you. All my burdens and heartaches you've known, and I will never forget the night you saved me. So I'll tell it
God, we needed that. God knew we did. He gave it to you. I don't believe there's one of us here that could raise your hand. I wasn't even there. Lord, I've given you my best. The challenge is there, though. Last night, I think it was Friday night, Miss Tammy went and got the God Can, which their prayer request is over there and put here. And the Lord spoke to my heart and says, say it up there. I'm going to make much of that. I didn't know what else he's going to do. But while I was sitting there looking at that can, the Lord told me what to do. Come on up here, brother. And Brother Gunn, would you do me a favor? Would you take that can and empty it out and kind of screw it, you know, just kind of even just all the way through here. And this is what the Lord told me to do. Everyone here, if you will, please reach down and get one of those. You don't have to take it home with you. You can remember what it says, whatever. You take it home with you. That's okay. You say, well, I can't come back tomorrow night. It don't matter. You bring back one of these days. It's not doing much good in there if we don't pray about it, is it? And as soon as he does what God tells him to do, everyone here, not after the service, during the service, I want you to come and get a prayer request. I'm sure there's many. Miss Tammy was led to put that can here a long time ago. And we haven't done, it's my fault, but our church has not majored on enough. Now, hey, remember the prayer can? Remember the prayer? No, we let that go. I haven't done what I should do. And brother, go ahead and mind the Lord, and then we'll see what happens.
Thank you. Could y'all sit down for just a second? I have something I'd like to share with you, especially with the young people, and I don't mean to spoil what's going on here. This is precious. But when I was 21 years old in the Marine Corps, young PFC, I was working